extremely apparent, as it is all across our nation, that there are homes where the children have never once heard their dad pray. They know nothing of his spiritual life because he never talks about it. They've heard mom pray sometimes. If they don't learn to respect us, gentlemen, and our religious conviction, if they don't learn to respect us as men, chances are very good they'll never learn to respect anybody, anytime, anywhere, including the law of our land and the law of God and God himself. And this is a sacred responsibility. Women don't want to run the house. Oh, they do lots of times because nobody else is, but they don't want to, I'm sure. Women don't want to be answerable for the financial program of the family. They don't want to be answerable for the discipline and bear the burden alone. They don't want to have the authority and the responsibility of religious training. But somebody must. God called her our help, meet or fitting for us. They're to help us. We're not to help them raise up the children. They are to help us, gentlemen. By nature, you see, men are leaders and women are followers. I didn't used to say that in public, but I've heard other men say it, so I think maybe I can get away with it now. Men are created by God to be leaders, and women by nature are to be followers. And women have pleaded for years with their husbands to go to church with them, and the men won't. And they ought to be leading. I have counseled, talked with, listened to, and prayed for many, many mothers, some in Clarence, who are concerned because of dad's attitude on Sunday morning and what's it doing to the kids. And I have three brothers. I have lots of brothers, but I have three especially who are Christians who married girls who weren't. And all three of my non-Christian sisters-in-law would go to church every Sunday next year if my brothers would get out of bed and take them. But they don't. And the girls would be Christians in a short time if my brothers had any gumption and would meet their responsibility to their own family, but they don't. And the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. My brothers aren't so smart. Because that's where you start in life, and if you don't start there, you haven't even begun yet, and you're going to get it all messed up before very long. Men, you're riding. The family's riding with you. What they turn out to be and whether they arrive at the destination God intended for them to arrive at is your decision, and the responsibility is yours. Because God made us leaders, gentlemen, he has also assigned to us another responsibility that is great. When it comes to the affairs of the Lord's church on earth, he has put us in charge. We're still in the driver's seat. The church is the only organization on earth that is of divine origin. It is from God. It is not like the lodge or the club. It is distinctly different from the YMCA, the Peace Corps, and the volunteer firemen, and the church softball team, and everything else that's organized. The church was built by Jesus Christ, and he died for it, and he bought it with his own blood, and the church is the only thing in your community that is an extension from heaven itself. And gentlemen, God has put it in your hands at this point. The church is the only organization on earth that can save a man's soul from the penalty of sin, preparing to meet God in the judgment. And the responsibility is ours. And gentlemen, we must maintain its purity. And we must proclaim its message. And if we fail, we have failed God, and we have failed our generation, and we have failed our families, and what hope is there for men who have failed in that many responsibilities? We must supply its need. We must answer for it to him. And on any Sunday you want, you look around, and there will be more women in church than men. And on any Sunday you want, you look around, there will be as many teenagers or more teenagers than there are men. And men are scarce in churches. And some who have dared to come and be members have not dared to take hold of the leadership or the steering wheel. But Dad, you remember one thing. God put the steering wheel in your hand, and you're in the driver's seat. And maybe mom can keep it on the road for a while or on the other side of the car by reaching across, but she can't do that indefinitely, and we're going to have a wreck someday. And I'm not talking about cars. Women as a whole don't want to run the church any more than they want the responsibility of being mom and dad at home. But sometimes they're left with both. I mean at home and at church. God made them to be followers, not leaders. I dare say the only times that we have women in leadership responsibilities or usurping authority over men in the Lord's kingdom is when a man man isn't standing where he ought to be, and the work's not being done, and they're not, the women aren't willing to let it go by without being done. So they step in, and they try to do the best they can under the circumstances. So you see, gentlemen, it is that God has given us a great and sacred responsibility, and it's time long past since we ought to get serious about our leadership in the Lord's church. And consider the issues in our meetings, gentlemen, that are important to God. What difference does it make if we make right or wrong decisions, if the issues we are considering are sidetracked, second-rate issues, and if souls are being lost, what difference do all those other things make anyhow? And God has given us that responsibility. Well, I'd like to think on the day of judgment when we're called to answer for souls in Clarence that, gentlemen, we could stand in unison and say, Lord, we tried, and we did the best we knew how, and we did it together, and we made mistakes, but Lord, we tried. I would hope that would be the case. So, gentlemen, you see, God made us in His image and assigned us great responsibilities, and no matter how great they help, your wife may be, she is just that, and you're answerable to your God. What that boils down to is you have a tremendous responsibility to yourself. Because, Dad, when it comes to your own life and your own spiritual well-being, you're still driving, and your destiny, your destination is your choice. And you steer where you want to go. Statistics tell us that only one man in 1,000 becomes a Christian after age 30. That's a horrible statistic. I think I know why. Because it takes men to win men. And the women may influence a few, and the children may even convert a few, but it takes men to win men to God. And it's our responsibility, gentlemen. Surely each one of us can win some man if we'll put ourselves to the task. I don't know why we get so hardened after we're 30 years of age. I passed that so long ago, can't remember anymore. But we do. We get so independent, so proud, so stuck in ourselves that we'll not bow down to anybody. And we're going to let talk to us, and we don't even let God talk to us anymore. Eyeball to eyeball and listen to what He says. Because we've got our job, and we'll make our own way through life, and we don't need anybody else. It's a big thing when a man admits to himself that he needs Jesus. That's the starting point of life, when a man realizes his own sin and admits his own need for the Lord. The purpose of the gospel is to trouble a man's conscience until he's so miserable he can't live with himself, and he has to make it right with God or get out. And every man here, I'm sure, has longed to be a better man. And gentlemen, it begins when you surrender to God and you recognize, maybe for the first time in your life, that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. I mean, to respect and to obey God is where life begins. There has been much evidence in recent weeks that there are men in our congregation who have no wisdom, who do not fear God, who consider His sacred things as trite and cheap and not worth their time. Paul said, gentlemen, be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. That means don't let the world decide what you're going to be, fellas. The devil has deceived men into thinking that manhood is proven these days by violence, vulgarity, profanity, and that's the devil's lie. He tells men that they're bigger men and they're tougher and they're more of a man when they do those things than when they come and bow themselves in God's house in prayer, seeking His forgiveness. And the devil has sold that lie to most of the men you know. Be not conformed to the world. Don't let the world decide what you're being, fellas. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And I'll guarantee you something. I know this for a fact. The more you transform yourself by renewing your mind, and the only way you can do that is fill your mind full of the things of God. I mean, to read His word and know and live by it. You transform yourself by the renewing of your mind, and your wife will love you more, and your children will respect you more, and your life will be such an enjoyable experience you won't even believe what's happening to you. And if you think you'll ever have those precious rewards of your wife's love and your children's respect and love without renewing your mind, you don't know what life's all about. You know why the world laughs at the church? Well, some of them laugh because they're ignorant, but others laugh because they think it's a manly thing to do. You know, if you can make fun of the church and point out its faults and hypocrites and how silly some of the things they do are, some of the things we do are, by the way. But you see, if a man points all that out, then he is diverting the attention from himself and his own neglect of his own responsibility before God, and he's centering the attention on somebody else. And thus he has pacified the situation for the moment and isn't called upon to answer to God. He's never been confronted and put in a position where he has to decide where he wants to stand. He's laughed about it for 20 or 30 or 40 years already. And we just laugh with him sometimes. But the church originated in the mind of God. God is not foolish, and the church isn't either. So, Dad, what do you want to make out of your life? You're driving. I mean, you're driving for your family. You're driving for the church. You're driving toward your own eternal destiny, and it's all in your hands. And we're all in the car together. God has left you with responsibilities second to none. And so the question for you to take home now is this. Are you man enough to do the work that God has assigned to you, gentlemen? There's no room for any sissies at the foot of the cross. But there's room left for some men to come. I mean, there's even room enough to come and bow down. So how about it, Dad? Will you lead your family nearer to God? Or are you going to hope Mom can make it on her own? Now, we're going to close our service in a different manner, if you please. I'd like for us to stand, all of us, and turn to hymn number 338. And men, we're going to do the singing, and they're going to listen. We'll sing the first verse of Nearer to My God to Thee, and pray that the words of the song will become the prayer of our heart, that this will be the pattern of our life. We'll sing one verse, gentlemen. We'll sing with them.